Psalm 140 is another Psalm of David, another Psalm that recognizes the sovereignty of God. Years ago, there was a theological movement that was designed to undermine and downplay the sovereignty of God. When you go through this book of Psalms, you cannot help but see David had a high and holy view of the sovereignty of God. In fact, that was what enabled him to cope with all the things in life. Psalm 140 is a Davidic psalm and a Davidic prayer. When we pray, we do assume the sovereignty of God, and if we don't, we aren't going to see God do much of anything because we won't have the faith that he is sovereign enough to do anything. It's obvious that this prayer is based on David's knowledge of God. Now, before David prayed, there were some prerequisites that he met that would enable him to pray. He knew that God does maintain the cause of a faithful servant who is afflicted. He knew that God would bring about justice for one that is poor and humble. He knew that righteous people always end up giving thanks to God, and he knew that the upright people always live in fellowship with God. And David knew these things about God, and he assumes that he is in a good position to pray because he met those prerequisites, and he knew God was sovereign and could answer his prayer. You see, David knew that God was totally sovereign, and he also knew that faithful people have a right to pray to God to use his sovereignty to deliver and destroy enemies and to preserve his own. Now, this psalm breaks down in three Selah sections. And so you come to the word Selah, it means that you pause and give careful and deliberate thought to what was just said. See, David asked God to rescue him and preserve him. Verses 1 through 3, deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who plan evil things in their heart and stir up wars continually. They make their tongue sharp as a serpent's, and under their lips is the venom of asps. Selah. It's obvious that this prayer arises from a real situation that featured real people who were evil. Notice that verse 1, that this prayer is made concerning people who are evil and violent. People are kind of enemies David had to face in life. He was not dealing with people who loved God and his word. He was dealing with evil and violent people. And they devise evil things in their hearts. Notice the plural evil things. They don't do just once. They do this again and again. It's their pattern of life. It's their problem in their heart. And what's really going on in the inside is that they are not pursuing righteousness. They're devising evil. And they continually stir up wars. They're people who are always stirring up trouble and causing problems. They're contentious people who are not right with God, who are involved in stirring up warfare. Make no mistake about this. This is evil. They use their speech as poison. It's a serpent analogy there. It's not coincidental. It's serpentine or it's satanic. People who are evil have no control of their mouths. They are vicious vipers. Their tongues inflict poisonous venom into one right with God. And the serpent illustration may refer to the rapid movement of the tongue. A serpent flicks the tongue at a rapid rate, and so do evil people. They wound with their words, and they try to kill one's reputation. When godly people have something to say, they'll say it to your face. When evil people have something to say, they'll do it behind your back. One who's evil has a major heart problem. One who is evil has a major mouth and speech problem. So they attack internally and then verbally. And then lastly, one who is evil has a hand problem. And that's what they do externally. David knew people like this. He was praying that God would take notice of these evil people and intervene on his behalf. But then we see that David asked God to guard and preserve him. Look at verses 4 and 5. Guard me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who have planned to trip up my feet. The arrogant have hidden a trap for me, and with cords they have spread a net. Beside the way they have set snares for me. Selah. David truly believed in the sovereignty of God. He did not know who all his enemies were, and he did not know where all his enemies were, so he asked God to keep track of them. How can you possibly know what enemies are plotting and planning? How can you know what people are saying behind your back? You can't know, but God does know. And David's enemies were wicked and violent. See, evil enemies have purposed to make one who is faithful stumble. goal of an enemy is to trip you up. An enemy does not want you to succeed or go forward. And evil people will come at you, and they're resolute in trying to cause you to stumble. They're looking for any way to do it. And evil enemies are proud, and they're out to ensnare one that is faithful. They're not humble. Faithful people of God, they're proud and arrogant. They try to ensnare you in hidden traps. They try to ensnare you in spread nets. They try to ensnare you by setting snares. Wicked, evil enemies will actually plan and plot how they can get you. They are real people who get together with goals of attacking and ruining you. They talk it over and come up with a plan. What David did was pray about them. What was really behind these attacks was the fact that David was right with God and they weren't. For example, Saul hated David, and this was not personality conflict. God was with David and not with Saul, and as a result, he was consumed by jealousy and went against him. And so David asked God to listen to him. Look at verses 6 through 8. I say to you, Lord, you are my God. Give ear to the voice of my pleas for mercy, O Lord. O Lord, my Lord, the strength of my salvation, you have covered my head in the day of battle. Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not further their evil plot, or they will be exalted. Selah. One who is right with God has a real safety weapon when under attack, and that weapon is prayer. The truth is, those who are not right with God don't spend a lot of time talking to God. They're too busy talking to other people. Faithful people of God can know this. Their adversaries rarely pray, and even if they do, they cannot move God to do anything. And so we see this prayer of David. It's based on his view of who God is to him personally. David knew God intimately, and description of what is seen here. He calls him my God, Elohim, the Lord, Jehovah, can listen to my voice and supplication. The Lord Adonai is David's strength. God has always covered and protected David. And in every battle David ever fought, he had a realization that God's hand was on him and protecting him. He was confident in the presence and protection of God, and his confidence was based on what he had seen God do in past times. And David asked God to listen to him in view of what God could do potentially. David totally and completely believed in the sovereignty of God. He knew what God could potentially do. God could potentially prevent the wicked from fulfilling their evil desires. God could potentially prevent the wicked from promoting their evil devices. And then the end of verse 8 is fascinating. One key motive for evil people is self-exaltation. They're not interested in what God says. They're interested in glorifying themselves. And so David asked God to destroy the wicked. Verses 9 through 11. As for the head of those who surround me, let the mischief of their lips overwhelm them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into a fire, into miry pits, no more to rise. Let not the slanderer be established in my land. Let evil hunt down the violent man speedily. Charles Spurgeon said that if you never think or pray this way about an enemy, chances are you're in sneaking agreement with them, or chances are you're deficient in your sense of right and wrong. And David asked God to cover them in their own verbal mischief. David asked God to cause burning coals to fall on them. Your reference to burning coals of judgment, not coals of purification, not conviction, not consecration, but destruction. David asked God to cast them into burning fire forever. And David asked God to never permit a slanderer to be established. And David asked God to quickly allow evil to hunt them down. One might ask how David could pray such a prayer. He knew God, and he knew of the justice of God, and justice demands remuneration for evil. Verses 12 and 13. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and will execute justice for the needy. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name. The upright shall dwell in your presence. So in these verses, David knew that God would maintain his cause because of the justice of God. When righteous people are afflicted, they have a right to go to God and appeal to his justice. What kind of parent would you be if you heard your child or grandchild cry for help against an evil brute and you just stood there and watched that brute destroy your child or grandchild? Well, God is a personal God, and when someone does something against his child. His people cry out to him, and he's not going to sit idly by.